You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments, Maurice's.
You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Yeah! Welcome back to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. Number 37.
It's a new year. It's a new day. It's a new me, man.
Is anybody turning over a new leaf this year? Are there any more leaves to turn?
My New Year's resolution is this year I resolve to not break my New Year's resolution.
I think you're...
That's simple.
I just popped a blood vessel in my brain thinking about that.
Yep.
That's a good one.
My resolution for the last few years was to pee outside more.
Oh, cool.
I don't really think I can do that any more than I do now.
You pee outside a lot?
I just always pee outside.
Have you maxed out?
Yeah. I'm saving the planet, dude. You don't even know how much water I've saved.
So many trees, so little time.
Yeah.
I stole one from you, actually, Ian. Mine is to drink more water.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I drink a lot of soda and energy drinks and coffee and all that bullshit. Hella sugar, so
I drink my whiskey straight and lots of water.
Cool.
And that's like all I drink.
Right on.
And some beer.
Wow, your resolutions are way more noble than mine.
Well, they're just easy things to do, you know, easy things that you can accomplish.
My New Year's resolution is to acquire every full length album that Napalm Death ever put out, because I realized I'm missing some.
That's awesome.
How many are you missing?
I like that.
Like 4 or 5.
Okay. You'd probably be able to pull that off.
Yeah, it's a superficial resolution, but I have a pretty good shot of fulfilling it.
All right.
Let's reintroduce ourselves,
I was just
going to
say, in case you're wondering who that is, that's Travis the Virus. What's up, dude?
Everyone remembers me, yes.
Yeah. Kevin's here.
Hello.
Ryan the Beard is here.
Yo.
Ryan the Beard, and I'm Ian, and we're back for a whole nother year, man, as like we said, episode 37.
Cool.
We're just getting started. Travis is going to be hanging out with us like... every few episodes. First of the month.
Yeah.
It's the first of the month.
Nice, man.
We need to get you like a Bone Thugs music segment.
It's the first
segment.
Of the month.
The first of your month, so pay your rent and listen to me.
And cash your checks and get up.
And buy your drugs.
So, yeah, 2015, I moved off of Capitol Hill because I think I'm finally done talking about Capitol Hill because I'm out of there.
So
finally.
You do something about it.
Hear, hear.
But now I'm literally living in a house where all of my is piled up to like my head, and I have like little corridors that I have to walk through to get to my bathroom and then my bedroom.
Sounds like a hoarder situation.
Yeah, I gotta unpack all my shit. I just don't have time, so I've been doing it slowly. Eventually I'll get it figured out. Last time I moved, it took me 3 months to get that shit done.
Damn.
I got a lot going on, man.
Yeah, you don't have much time to do it, and you got a bunch of stuff, so you should just pay people to unpack your stuff.
If only I could trust someone to do that.
Yeah, they'd probably just be like, oh, that's cool. Every third item they just put in their
pocket. They'd be like,
pocket.
One for Ian, one for me. One for Ian, one for the beard.
These are cool metal CDs. They would go nice in my collection.
Exactly. So, yeah, what else is up with the new year, man? I feel like we should address something new, but it's really just another f***ing day.
Yeah. What did we do on New Year's? Well, for me personally, I went to a party for Vicky Barcelona at her, well, not for her, but she had a party, Vicky from the BJ Shea Morning Experience. I was actually sober because I realized that I had a headlight out, so I wasn't going to... You know, there's so many cops out on New Year's.
Dude,
I wasn't even
going to
test
reason.
It. Yeah. If I were to just take a shot and then go drive, you know, I mean,
I could be like, hey, can I get that? Can you pack that up in like a to-go bottle for me so I can drink it when I get home?
It's garbage. So I was just like, you know, I'll be the DD tonight. And my friends got drunk and I drove them home. So that was cool. But I did fill in for Jolene all week here on The Rock. So I was busy doing my day job and then coming up here. But the best part was traffic was super, super easy this week.
So that, nobody's out.
Exactly. That was the best part of it for me.
That's my new favorite part of the holidays.
But coming Monday, it's going to be a show again.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. It's only going to get worse.
Ryan, what about you, man? What'd you do?
Man, I had a really, really easy night. The last, I think, 5 or 6 New Year's's, I don't remember. Nothing.
Yeah,
total
you're like,
blank. It's.
I'm always wondering. Yeah. What did I do last year? I don't.
I always go out and do something really, really stupid and get really beyond messed up.
You get high as balls and go raving.
Yep, pretty much. And this year, I don't know. I had a friend over and made a dinner at my place. And then after that, went and watched the fireworks.
Super, female friend.
Yeah. Super, super relaxing. Nice low key evening. It was good. It was a good.
What'd you make for dinner?
Mashed potatoes and this weird vegetarian meat substitute thing that I had never cooked before. So it was
it like a tofurkey?
Kind of. It was. You could still see the like the little soybeans in it. It was kind of textured like it was supposed to be meat, but it definitely didn't taste
had
like
little
meat.
Beans.
Yeah,
I'm eating beans.
Like meat beans.
Word.
It was different, you know? But it was a good night.
Veggie food
night.
Can be good, man. Can be real good.
Man.
What about you, Travis? What did you do?
My drummer, Brad, the drummer in Carnotaurus, he got a new place over in North Bend. Well, like outside of North Bend, way up on the fucking mountain. And I went there to his party, and that was the shit. I can't remember. I moved out to the city a couple of years ago.
You mountain folk.
And I honestly can't remember the last time I partied outside in the woods, surrounded by trees, when like I could actually see the stars. I didn't hear sirens for the first New Year's Eve in forever. And we just got drunk and watched his neighbors shoot off fireworks in the street.
Sweet.
It was great.
Yeah, you go party out in the street anywhere in Seattle and you're going to have like some f***ing billy club smacking you over the head.
Yeah, out here on the mountain.
Get out of here.
Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, so awesome. Yeah, I just sat in my new house.
Yeah.
In fact, all I did on New Year's Eve was clean my old house. It f***ing sucked. So instead of testing my luck and going out and driving, because I was thinking about coming to the station, and going from West Seattle to the station at that point is kind of like running a gauntlet.
You
know what I mean? It's far enough away, you know, going from wherever you were back to Tukwila. That's like the danger zone right there. So I was just like, nah, I'm just going to hang out. I didn't even pay attention to a countdown because I don't have cable hooked up over there yet or anything. So I watched a couple of horror movies and drank some scotch. And I think I made some macaroni and cheese. It was pretty solid.
Yeah, man.
Hung out with my cat. Which
horror movies? What did I watch? God, have you ever seen the movie Chopping Mall?
I have not.
I've heard that's fucking awesome.
It's awesome. It's a classic, like, ass 80s horror movie. Yeah, it's great.
Nice.
I'll seek it out.
Yeah, you should. You would love it, of all people.
I'm pretty sure
they could Mystery Science. In fact, I'd be surprised if they hadn't Mystery Science Theater 3000 it somewhere.
All right. Well, this is going to sound totally irrelevant on the when we actually post this podcast because it's going to actually happen by then. But, Ian, I want to know your prediction. Uh-oh. Who do you think is going to win UFC 182? Jones or Cormier?
I don't know anything about UFC anymore. And that's
okay.
Okay, so here's one thing I do want to address since you asked me. I haven't been able to watch a single UFC since we've been doing Metal Shop because they're always on Saturdays.
For like 5 years you have missed it?
Yeah, I used to watch every UFC, and then the weekend we got Metal Shop was literally the weekend that I stopped watching.
Well, here's the thing, is you can actually buy this thing. It's kind of like the WWE Network, but it's UFC. It's called the UFC Fight Pass, and it's like $10 a month, and you can catch all the replays of the UFC pay-per-views.
Nice. Yeah. We should get them to sponsor us now, since you just said that.
Exactly.
Let's get some money for
that. I just kind of wedged that in there. Like, nice. Yeah, nice
Practicing
little promo.
For the money days.
Exactly. You know what was fucking awesome this week? I heard Jamie Josta on the Josta podcast play American Wrecking Company.
Really?
Yeah, because they came for the Hatebreed show, and he had all local openers, and he was talking about how fucking sick it was that the show was sold out, and he said, I know it wasn't because of Hatebreed, because the last couple Hatebreed shows in Seattle did not sell out. The last Showbox one did not even come close to selling out.
No, it was really bad.
And so he's like, mad props to the local bands. And so he played, you know, a couple of the locals, including American Wrecking Company. And it was really fucking cool to hear that on a podcast.
I didn't listen to that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And the episode was his 2014 year in review with Frankie Three Guns from Ringworm.
Nice.
And they turned me onto a pretty sweet band. It was the Old Firm Casuals, which is the Oi band that Lars Fredriksson from Rancid is in now. So
interesting.
You know, he's still doing Rancid, but he's doing a little bit more old school Oi, Old Firm Casuals. So for the metal audience, you're very alienated right now.
Something that I ran into today, like right before I came here, that pissed me off, and it has nothing to do with anything, but I just wanted to throw it out there. Rolling up to a fast food place now, they have like a pre-recorded fucking voice that like greets you when you get there.
Where?
Weird. At like a lot of these places. It was at Taco Bell.
Oh, okay.
The one down in Soto.
Yeah.
And I roll up and it's some like super enthusiastic, like bright, chirpy person that's like, hi, welcome to Taco Bell. What can I get for you? And you start talking and then the person's like, hold on a minute. And you're just like, wait a second. Where the fuck did that guy just go? Why can't I talk to him? And then they fuck up all my food and then I don't know. It's just weird. I don't know.
All right, so I had a really, really weird experience New Year's Day.
What was that?
All right, so I'm just kind of a little bit out of it, trying to enjoy my day, and I noticed there was a new Kevin Smith movie. Now,
Tusk.
Yeah,
I heard that's awesome.
I had heard nothing about this film. All I knew was I just saw, oh, hey, Kevin Smith film. You know, probably pretty funny, great way to kick off the year. No, it was not funny. It was freaking one of the creepiest damn things I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it was weird.
Was it awesome though?
Oh yeah, it was awesome, but I'm in the mood for this like happy kind of fun comedy thing, and I just got the creepiest damn thing I've ever seen in my life. And it was just weird. It's a weird film. It's about this guy, this serial killer that abducts a guy and turns him into a walrus through surgery. It's weird.
Hence the name Tusk.
Yeah, the creepiest line in the film was, you will be a walrus or you will be nothing else. It sounds totally dumb, but
it's
the creepiest damn thing. Worth a watch.
God,
it's a great movie. It's really weird, really creepy, but awesome film.
Did Kevin Smith start smoking weed again?
It came from his podcast. Like he like mentioned it on the podcast, and everybody was like, "This sounds amazing. You should totally turn this into a movie."
Just because a couple of people say it's a good idea, dude, doesn't necessarily make it a good fucking idea.
But it was awesome though, right?
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Oh,
it was just really, really creepy. It was really weird.
You just thought it was going to be like a Clerks or like
Zack and Miri,
Mallrats or something.
Like something. Yeah.
What would you compare it to?
I don't even have anything to compare it to. It was just weird.
Out there.
Just totally out there.
That's cool, man.
Just bizarre.
I guess once you reach a certain point where you've gotten a certain level of success, start doing some weird shit.
Yeah.
It's news time. First time of 2015. Hooray!
Yay!
To the Metal Shop News Desk. Backstage Pass.
Starting this week, some good news. We talked a couple weeks ago about how Nigel Glocker from Saxon had been hospitalized for a brain aneurysm, which is kind of a big deal. People die from brain aneurysms all the time. It's basically when a blood vessel just pops in your skull and you start bleeding in your head. So he posted a video up online this week, and the picture they're showing is just him with two thumbs up, and he's out of the hospital. So hopefully they'll get their drummer back. Good news for Saxon.
That's awesome. So a band from Florida that has definitely had some interesting past, and we've definitely talked about them in their relation to some racist comments they have made in blogs and in interviews. Malevolent Creation, definitely an old school death metal band that we play quite a bit, or used to at least, until we kind of found out about their super, super racist rants. They are going to be releasing a new album this year on Century Media, and it's going to be coming out sometime in 2015, and it is yet untitled, but it's their previous studio album was Invidious Dominion So they'll be doing something in 2015. Surprise I'm Century still Media not,
I'm still,
has...
Yeah, I'm still not down with that.
Are they just going to put an M-bomb in the album title? just be blunt.
Yeah, I really hope they make it really obvious so that we can all just finally be like, come on!
I thought it was just their guitarist stuff, Phil what's-his-name, that was making those comments.
I feel racist guy. That's who you're thinking.
It's a malevolent creation Burzum split EP.
The thing is, though, is that like some of it is in the lyrics, dude, so I guess if you're in the band, you're kind of co-signing.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to look into that.
Yeah, we should look into some of the older records.
Because I only have two of their records, and I never noticed, so...
And I don't have it in front of me at this point. We've talked about this twice before, and what I remember is that we cited at least three different interviews from across, 2007, 2009, and then there was one in, recent, that's why it came up again. Metal Sucks brought it up, 2013.
I did see the interviews online. Yeah. Did see those.
Yeah. So it's well-documented. Malevolent Creation is a little sketch. It's just
Obituary is celebrating 30 years of being a band.
Yeah.
Which is really rad.
That's
so,
a band that certainly, they might not be quote-unquote edgy. They have definitely lasted the test of time.
Rap band rules. So anyway.
Their last record was sick, dude. Inked in Blood came out in 2014 on Relapse, their first on Relapse. It was their highest selling record ever. And it charted on the billboards, and it was better than their last few records, honestly. Their last three records were okay, but I don't think they were really as good as they could have been. And I think that they have a renewed, invigorated excitement about the band, and maybe that has to do with signing to a new label and touring
probably
with some sick bands.
And getting some help getting the record out.
Yeah.
I'm sure that doesn't hurt.
And also, Obituary, I mean, there's kind of like a new refound resurgence of love for Obituary. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, younger kids are getting into Obituary. Yeah. So you're seeing a lot of shirts and...
Just seeing them play the last time they came through, it looked like they give a shit again.
It was a good time.
And that's a big thing, too. And I think that's something that a lot of people kind of tend to not notice. You get so wrapped up in the music and you get so stoked to see the band, sometimes you forget to notice whether or not the band is really having as much fun as you. And definitely some of these legacy bands, you go and see them and they're standing there playing and the music sounds great and the show's awesome, but you can kind of tell the band's just like, another day at this
doing this
job.
Again.
Yep. Gonna play this song. Now this asshole gonna do his freaking solo.
That's the thing that
him wanking.
That's one thing I've never understood. Seeing a band that looks bored on stage, because the shittiest part about touring is that 75, 80, 90% of it is just sitting around and fucking waiting.
So you're bored off stage.
Every touring musician always acknowledges the fact that the most fun part of the day is on the fucking stage. So if you're just gonna stand there and look bored,
Day job.
What do you like the rest of the day? Because your life is probably just fucking monotonous as shit. In a situation where you should be super pumped. I would be pumped. Any single one of us would be pumped, you know?
The touring circuit is overcrowded anyways. I don't think that we need anyone who's not having fun to take our money.
That goes for local bands, too. You can always tell who's hungry, who's still into it.
If you're not into it, if you're not feeling it, if it's not coming from your heart and you just want it for the money, you.
Also, if you're in it for the money, you're playing the wrong kind of music.
Especially
no
now.
Joke. I was about to say.
You're about three decades late, dude. Sorry.
Well, here's a band that if there's any metal bands are making money, I think it would probably be this one. Not saying they are, but if there
are
any of them. Lamb of God recently did an interview, Randy Blythe did, with Noisy, which is like a Vice.com kind of thing. They did the whole down Southern Sludge movement biography thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet, but Randy said that they're going to be playing a bunch of big gigs this year overseas, doing Soundwave in Australia, doing a few ones in Indonesia.
Wow.
And he said that the dudes in the band have been writing stuff, and it sounded pretty monstrous thus far, and that sooner or later they will be writing a new record, and hopefully it's sooner. But it sounds good that they actually been writing some stuff. Obviously, nothing's recorded, nothing's fully gotten to the point where they can record it. But
right,
you know, if they're writing and tinkering with some ideas, that's a lot more progression than a band like Metallica has made.
I also like that he said he's writing his new book, basically about what happened to him over in the Czech Republic.
What happened?
What happened? Listening back to some of those older episodes of the Jamie Josta podcast, He was saying that Randy's name, last name, is actually pronounced Bly.
Ah.
It's Randy Bly.
I knew that. I just felt like a dick if I corrected you guys.
Well, it's the thing. And here's, I remember actually seeing an interview with Randy about it, and he was just like, I don't fucking care. He's like, I don't care what it is. You pronounce my name however you want. I know that you're addressing me. He's like, I don't take it personally. He said everybody pronounces my name wrong.
My last name is Deers, but people always call me Dyers, and I'm just like, yep, I don't care. Whatever. Well,
Dyers sounds a little bit cooler, so you should.
Yeah, I remember.
When
we first got the job here, I remember Ryan being like, dude, I thought it was going to be Dyers. That would have been way more metal.
It's a sick gimmick. That's like Steve Roush is Steve Rock.
Well, we really fucked that up. It should have just been Kevin Dyers from the beginning.
It's not too late, man.
All right, no, cool.
For some reason, I don't think you'd be able to handle that because you've been correcting people out of that your whole life. You'd finally be like, man, I just wasted my time for the last 20 fucking years. Anyway, that's cool. New Lamb of God.
I remember when I met this guy and he was asking if your name, Ian, was pronounced Ian or Ian.
Right.
And I was like,
do I look like I'm on 98210?
I was like, his name is Ian.
Right.
Is that a fucking name? Ian?
I know two of them.
You know Ian?
Oh, yeah. What the f***?
Wait, really?
Come over here so I can kick him in the balls.
That's the thing. They're really cool dudes.
Is that like I-O-N?
No, it's spelled the same
like
way.
Like ion dissonance?
They're just pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah. Hey, dude, you're pronouncing your f***ing name wrong.
Apparently.
Ian?
Yeah.
Sounds more like iron that
what
way.
Here's the thing, though. Like, my grandmother was from Wisconsin, like, real deep, like, Midwest, had that, like, oh, don't you know thing going on. And she called me Ian. She always called me Ian.
My grandma called me Calvin. Like, Calvin and Hobbes.
See, that's funny, because she didn't even know what your f***ing name was.
I think she was just trolling me, because I always was like, it's Kevin. And she's like, all right, Calvin.
She's like, I don't care
before you were born, she probably wanted your parents to name you Calvin.
Yeah.
She's like, your name's Calvin in this house.
Grandma.
Children of Bodom somehow got their record to go gold.
Nice.
But they got it to go gold in Finland, which is pretty sweet.
Where people actually buy CDs still. Where people buy metal records still.
Yeah. What does that mean, going gold? Is that 100,000?
No, it's half a million.
10,000.
No, 500,000.
It's 10,000?
No, 500,000 is gold. No. A million is platinum.
No, a million's platinum, yeah. But I thought 100,000 was gold. It's saying here that they only sold 10,000. They sold 10,000.
Well, maybe they altered it a bit, like in the new century when people bought less records. But I always thought
standards.
I always thought that 500,000 was gold because you know I've been in the record store industry for a long time, and I remember when a band could actually sell a lot of records. So I always thought, oh, like gold, that means you're halfway to a million, and then you go platinum. And
yeah, they were making a big deal about nobody.
Maybe they changed it, I don't know.
Like, not until, like, right at the beginning of December, no one in the U.S. or in the world, or I guess in the U.S., had gone platinum all year long until Taylor f***ing Swift did it,
of course.
So the amount of people who even get to gold is so few. They should just lower the standards. Be like, all right, you just sold 500 records, dude. You just went gold.
I won tickets to Taylor Swift at the KISW work party.
Did you go?
It's in August.
Oh, what?
But I am not going to go. I gave tickets to my mom and my girlfriend for Christmas.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. And points.
I was considering selling them because I was offered $300.
About to see.
You should have been like, let me get five, motherfucker.
But, you know, my mom and my girlfriend want to go, so I figured there's a good present right there. Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
she's a babe. But
let them bond over music.
There you go.
Except put out a cool record last year.
They did.
But they have just lost half their band.
Which half?
Well, it's not going to be Wolf Hoffman. Wolf Hoffman kind of is, except. And then they got their new singer.
Wolf Hoffman.
Mark Trujillo? Or Trujillo? I can't remember what his name is. He's good, though. And they've lost Herman Frank and Stefan Schwarzman, who've been with us for like 5 years. So it's not, you know. But Wolf Hoffman's still there. And he's kind of is, except at this point. So that's new news. They're going to be needing a new guitar player and a new drummer. Anyone in? Ryan, you in? You want to go play with Accept?
Nah.
Hang out in
nah.
Go play
nah,
in
good.
Germany? Sounds I think like, Wolf lives in California, though.
Sounds like a lot of 4-4, man. See?
I'd do it.
Yeah. Travis?
I think it'd be fun.
Try out. Balls to the wall.
It'd be a nice vacation from an average Carnotaurus riff, which is just like all over the place. And a summer of 4/4 time riffs and German beer. Okay.
Let me grab a beverage real quick.
My beverage of choice is my New Year's resolution. Water. Life-giving water.
Tequila!
Ooh, that is a fancy schmancy bottle.
I don't know. I've never seen it before.
Don Julio?
Yeah. You guys want to try it?
Yes.
No,
yes.
It's not Don Julio. It's called...
Well, I knew that.
Gacho Chicano by Christian Aguilar.
Paco Loco?
It's Reposado. It's got a lovely rose bottle.
Rey Mysterio.
The Rey Mysterio tequila. That would be... awesome. I would totally buy that.
And it would come in a luchador mask bottle. That'd be fucking sick. He needs to do that. Getting passed around.
Like the crystal skull bottles that they had, but just like a
fucking sick. He needs to do it. But you know the thing is his character is so child friendly that it would be if he's in WWE, they're definitely not going to let him do that. He would have to do that on his own. Let's try this. Good stuff.
Ryan, are you laying off?
Never tequila, man.
Oh, that's right. Wait, okay, so since you brought... Yeah, why? I want to hear why you don't drink tequila. Because every time I call you a pussy because you never drink the tequila with us.
Is this the elbow drop
Please
story?
Tell me it's a great story and it's not that you just don't like the taste.
It's not the elbow. It's... From what I can recall, it's a great story. I think it was 17... I was in Cabo San Lucas for a vacation with the family for spring break, and I decided to go out and party by myself for the night, and I went to Cabo Wabo, which is Sammy Hagar's.
Isn't that the place where they come and grab your skull and like just molest you with booze?
It pretty much, man. I had a great night from what I can remember. From the first half of it, I can guarantee was just a great night. I have no idea how I managed to get home. I had the worst hangover I've ever had in my life. And my little cousin woke me up with pancakes. And I looked at him just like, why the F are you waking me up? Why is this, what is this big fiery ball in the sky? The whole world sucks. And he said, apparently I kicked in the door, puked in the bathtub. And he asked if I was okay. And I just turned and said, brother, pancakes, and passed out. And now whenever I try to drink tequila, it's an instant gag reflex. I still have not been able to get over
so
it, man.
So next time I see you, I'm going to serve you up a fat plate of pancakes and a f***ing side of tequila.
Ugh.
I'm just going to mix it into your orange juice and not tell you.
God damn, that sounds awful.
That sounds awesome.
Pukey pukey.
I love pancakes.
And tequila.
Burt.
Anyway, I know it's not whiskey, but the reason I bring it up is because... This week, they unearthed a new song from motherfucking Dimebag Darrell, dude.
It's true.
That is awesome.
Whiskey River.
Whiskey Road.
Whiskey Road. Sorry. Edit that one out.
Whiskey Road. No, it's another song that's 100% Dime. It's him doing everything. Every guitar, every bass, all the singing, and the drums.
Is it from his old 4-track demos?
I'm trying to figure out where they unearthed it. I think they had what happened is that they've had it and they wanted to release it a few weeks after the 10 year anniversary, I suppose. So Guitar World has it and he recorded it in 2001, but it never saw the light of day.
Hmm.
So, I mean, if you've seen this month's issue, the February issue comes out, you know, a month ahead of time. This issue of Guitar World has Dime on the cover. It's the ultimate Dime tribute issue.
Yeah.
You know, the 10 years after. And so with that, they also have this song. You guys want to play just a little portion of it real quick?
Do it.
All right. Let's see what we can come up with.
Day one. Yeah.
Get that tequila.
Pretend it's whiskey.
It is whiskey, man.
Confusion in my head. Was it something that I said? As I start to drink, I begin to think. Old whiskey in a bottle is blood in my veins. As I keep believing,
this pain will go away. Lightning strikes my bloodshot eyes. Am I asleep or wide awake?
Well, there it goes. It's about 6 minutes long, so if you want to listen to it, we can grab it. Can one of you guys post it up on our Facebook? On
Let's do it up.
Page real quick.
That'll definitely. Be awesome.
So if you're hearing this later, just go back to our Facebook. You'll find it there, hanging out, waiting for you to hear it. Keeping the memory of Dime alive.
Watch it go.
It's pretty cool.
There's this cover band called Max Sabbath, and it's a Black Sabbath cover band that performs as McDonald's characters and changes all the lyrics into stuff.
That's awesome.
which sounds...
Send me a link to that real quick.
Yeah,
I want to see it.
Which sounds simultaneously like the worst idea in the world and...
But kind of awesome.
Just the best idea in the world.
Could be great.
And in the interview, they say that they're dead serious about it. It's not just a gimmick to sell t-shirts.
This is not a gimmick.
How are you dead serious about it?
This is like a thing that they're really, really into. So they have...
is Max Sabbath, motherfucker.
So well, you don't take me seriously?
They describe their shows as Ronald Osborne and the whole gang in full regalia playing all their hits like Sweet Beef and Chicken for the Slaves. In a full multimedia show with video theatrics, audience participation, and sing-alongs. So they have they took Iron Man and turned it into Frying Pan.
Wow.
And let's see, it's
Sweet Beef, Chicken for the Slaves.
Yeah, they dress up as Ronald McDonald, Grimace the Hamburglar, and Mayor McCheese.
Yeah, the Hamburglar is playing drums. That's pretty rad. Grimace is playing bass. He looks like a big purple dildo.
Wow. This is f***ing awesome.
How long do you think it will be before the McDonald's Corporation issues a cease and desist?
I don't know. It depends on... Oh, I mean, they're all a little different looking. So I think they're playing it correctly. Like, Grimace has got a weird look on his face. It looks like Ronald the singer has like, got some different makeup on.
That means nothing to those people.
Oh, they'll get you if they want you. Who knows?
Looks like the burglar has these big horns coming out of the burger. Makes him look a little more metal.
He looks like a Motorhead hamburger.
Yeah.
That's tight.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's kind of fun. That's kind of cool.
What's up with Black and Blue Bowl?
Well, it's a thing going on in New York City. It's like this big yearly hardcore festival put on by some hardcore dudes. Like Freddie Madball is actually one of the three people that's in... charge of booking it every year. So it's going to be May 16th and Sunday, May 17th at Webster Hall in New York, New York. And the lineup so far is a band called Misery from Southern California, Heavy Chains, King Nine, Rude Awakening, Freedom, who I've heard really good things about, Suburban Scum, Wisdom in Chains, Agents of Man Reunion, Crumbsuckers Reunion, Bitter End, Turnstile, Expire, 100 Demons, and Sick of It All.
Sweet.
So that's just so far. I'm sure there's going to be some huge names, some huge reunions. All those guys have lots of hardcore clout and lots of strings they can kind of just see what's going on in this scene. And I think if those guys are in charge of a festival, we can expect huge things.
The finger's on the pulse of hardcore.
Motherfucker.
So, speaking of hardcore, we got a man in the studio right now called Travis the Motherfucking Virus.
Hardcore.
Travis the Motherfucking Virus, bitch. We got him here once a month because he's a man of the people. He's a man who speaks his mind, and he's a very intelligent guy. He usually hits the nail right on the head. So this week, we got another version of Travis the Virus's viral rant.
Yes. Thank you, Ian.
What do you got for us, man?
Well, seeing as how this is the first backstage pass of 2015, and seeing as how everybody is obsessed with end-of-year lists, I thought I would do an end-of-year list on my own. Now,
Sounds good. This was
a great year for metal. There were a lot of great releases. Some of my favorites were Horrendous, Behemoth, Crowbar, Triptychon, Origin, The Drip, Autopsy, Beyond Creation, Abysmal Dawn. Lots of great stuff.
Yeah.
But that's not what this rant is about. This rant is about not the cream of the crop, but the bottom of the barrel. The very bottom scraping.
The poop.
I went and actually sought out what I see as the worst, the bottom five metal records of 2014.
The bullshit.
Now, if some of you might hear this list and think, oh, I know something way worse than that. No, please, keep it to yourself. I'm tortured enough by having to actually listen to all these for the sake of journalistic integrity.
Thank you for biting the bullet for us.
Now, before... No problem. Always ready to take one for the Metal Shop team. Now, before I get into this, I want to set a few guidelines. First of all, obviously, this is all full-length studio albums released in 2014. Studio albums. That's which is why that Five Finger Death Punch are not on the list.
Okay, good.
I also didn't want to have any pop rock masquerading as metal, no glam rock masquerading as metal, and no a cappella masquerading as metal.
Word.
Which is why Lacuna Coil, Steel Panther, and Van Canto are not on the list.
But they're honorable mentions.
They're dishonorable mentions.
There you go.
So now that we got that out of the way, here we go. The five records I found, heard, hated, and want to warn you about. Okay, number five, Hell Yeah, Blood for Blood.
Harsh called out.
Vinny, no, say it ain't so.
Hey, hey, it's not my fault this new band sucks, okay?
Hey, man, we all know it.
Yeah, I understand you guys couldn't say it because you have to, you know, actually interview him whenever his band comes through town, and you have to drive the conversation towards Pantera and stuff like that to avoid, you know, like just saying like, yeah, okay, yeah, whatever. But anyway, this is Hell Yeah's fourth album, and on this album they've mastered the concept of lowering your ambitions to the point where they are already met. I honestly didn't think Hell Yeah could get more generic, because how do you get more generic? That's something you'd have to work at, and working at something, you would think you would get better at it, and that's obviously not what they're going for. They just play this, somehow they've managed to take their stock, store brand, Walmart metal to all new lows. Even if you're one of those people that just wants something loud and heavy to listen to while pounding brews or driving your truck. It's a truck, a boat, and a truck all put together. There's way better stuff out there. This is music for people that think that Black Label Society is too deep and poetic and highbrow for them. It's just an unoriginal mess. The lyrics are dumb. The song titles are cliche. The guitar riffs are as stock as they come.
Dude, the band's called Hell Yeah.
And honestly, I've heard Vinnie Paul rip on the drums. Remember, I saw Pantera play live 6 times in my youth. So I've heard, awesome. I know that he is actually capable of really ripping the fuck out of those drums. And I hear this, and it's just like, he's playing stuff that he could, he probably ties one hand behind his back. It's just, like, there's like, with Pantera, it's like he was trying to take everything to a new level each time he played. With Hell Yeah, it's like, he's just like, yeah, this is good enough. It's like, I would not even recommend it if someone said, I really like redneck drinking metal. What can you recommend to me? I would never recommend a Hell Yeah album. And you may think that's harsh, but keep in mind, this is their fourth album.
Yeah,
they've had plenty of time,
exactly.
Plenty of opportunity to really show what they got.
Yeah,
and
those guys needed to...
They're basically just coasting off their past glories.
Individually...
And aside from Pantera, their past glories include Damage Plan, Mudvayne, and Nothing Face. So that's really... I would not coast long on that. No. That's like trying to make it from Seattle to Weed, California on an eighth of a tank of gas. It's just not going to fly.
All right, what's that number four?
Number four, In Flames, Siren Charms.
Okay. I get that one. I get it.
Does anybody here remember when In Flames was a good band?
Yes, of course.
Or even like a passable band? The cliche with every band, everybody always says, oh yeah, their early stuff, their first record is the best. But in In Flames' case, it's actually true. When the Jester Race came out, it was a good record, a really good record, and nobody else sounded like that. And even their records after that were pretty good.
Yeah, they've put out 4, 5, even 6. They haven't put out a good record in at least 10 years.
At the very least. And that's being very generous.
And I can't remember which record came out in 2004. The one that had, like, Ordinary People on it. And
was it? Only the Soundtrack to Your Escape?
Yes,
was that it?
That's the one.
Yeah, that was the one.
And that was where they started to turn. You got starting to notice where they started relying on that electronic sound more, and they started infusing more of that. And I was kind of like, because every other In Flames record that came out was like, I love every song. And then it got to the point where Soundtrack to Your Escape came out, and I was like, I like 4 or 5 of those songs.
Yeah.
And then the next record came out, and I was like, I maybe like 1 of those songs.
Right.
And then it just went to it's like they fell off a fucking cliff. I don't know.
All this. Yeah. All that. Yeah. All that is true. All of that happened. I remember in the late 90s, there were some people that were saying that In Flames were going to end up, were going to progress to be the Iron Maiden of their generation. Now comparing them to Iron Maiden is fucking laughable.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like one of my coworkers, they set me up for this. They're like, "Hey dude, here, check out the new In Flames. I want to know what you think." Because some of my friends are pretty masochistic and they want me to be exposed to shit I will hate just to see my reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to hear like, "Hey, watch this. Watch this. Hey, Travis, what did you think of the new In Flames album?" And like, "Holy
don't get just me started, dude.
This new album, I'm convinced at this point in their career, they're just like playing a practical joke on their fans, just saying, okay, how far can we deviate from our original mission statement and still have people buy our albums and come to our shows? I mean, it's just, you listen to Siren Charms, so much of it just sounds exactly like commercial radio rock, so much so they'll probably be headlining one of those Honda-sponsored rock festivals next year.
Quite possibly. They probably already are.
Probably, yeah. They're probably already slated on there. They're probably going to, like, I don't know what tour they're going to do this summer, but I guarantee you it will be sponsored by an energy drink. That's all I'll say about that. All the vocals, the sung vocals and the screamed vocals, are fucking weak. Like, even the more metal-sounding guitar parts just sound passionless. They sound stock. And it's almost as if, like they don't care. I can just picture them seeing the people that did buy this album and just thinking, fuck, what do we have to do? Do we have to go a cappella in order to convince these f***ers that we're no longer a good band?
Yeah. It's like trying to get fired from a job.
Yeah, it's like, there are bands that I love that have put out like one shitty record or one record that was not even shitty, but extremely flawed. But everyone deserves a second chance.
Right.
In my own personal life, I never give anyone a third chance. If I was still an In Flames fan, this would be like the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. I've lost count of how many chances that their fans have given them. Yeah, just, ugh. Yeah.
What's number 3?
Number 3.
It's going to be getting to the real bullshit here.
Yeah. Yeah. In Flames made this list mainly because not only their album was so bad, but the fact that they used to be good makes that fact even worse.
They lost Jesper, dude.
Yeah.
That was it.
Okay, so number 3, King 810.
Oh God, no!
King
Detroit New Metal.
For those of you who are fortunate enough to not be familiar with King 810, King 810 are one of those bands that need to be told what year it is. They play new metal. It's 2014, and they're playing new metal.
Not in Flint, Michigan, dog.
It's like
they toured with Korn this year.
They have. Like all the, just about all the trademarks. Like they have the vocals that go from terrible screaming to stupid half-ass whisperings. They have stupid riffs that sound like the kind of shit that like Slipknot and Mudvayne would say, like, no, those aren't good enough to be on our album. Just get rid of those. And they have asinine lyrics about killing a world that for some reason has it out for them, even though they're just, you know, regular dudes from some, you know, small eastern town.
The town sucks.
But for
suck.
Some reason, like, everybody in the world is against them. Like, there's people conspiring. Oh, yeah, we got to take down those guys from King 810.
Are they
juggalos?
That's me. That guy.
The only thing missing from their sound are turntables and Ross Robinson. They would be, like, the epitome of the new metal movement. And
why that exists, how that band got signed, how there's anybody.
They got big, man. They got big this summer.
How did that happen? Why are there still people interested
in that?
Did
you know that Jim still love nu metal?
Jim Florentine from That Metal Show put King 810 in one of his top three records of the year.
Oh, he did! And that saddens me because, full disclosure here, you know, okay, like Jim Florentine, I like his comedy. I listen to his podcast all the time. I think he's a funny dude. His Dimebag tribute episode recently was really good. But and he likes and has some good taste in classic metal, you know, and classic rock. You know, he likes Rose Tattoo. He likes Judas Priest. He doesn't like Kiss. He's has good taste in older stuff. But as far as the new shit that he will play on his podcast, when I heard him, it's like, yeah, this is a band called King 810. They're really great. They're gonna be closing out our podcast here on Comedy Metal Midgets.
Cool.
Yeah,
and
I'm just
I
like,
know I get to turn it off.
Oh yeah, I subscribe to his podcast, like Backstage Pass and him and Comedy Metal Midgets. They're like the two podcasts I listen to the most, and not just because I'm on one of them, but
of course not.
But he just. But yeah, he was showing this band to people, and I'm like, dude, you do a great podcast, you're really funny, but for f**k's sake, King 810, seriously, what the f**k? Like, you listen to their music, they seem hell-bent on convincing the listener that they're angry and tough and hateful and tortured and twisted,
but
really, they just sound dumb. Like, I would have been...
Look out, man. They'll shoot you.
You listen to their lyrics. I would have been embarrassed to write those lyrics when I was 14. And when I was 14, I was only writing songs for a year, and they were terrible. To call King 810's music primitive would be an insult to the earliest forms of hominid. As far as music goes, they barely qualify as a multi-cell organism.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You know the kind of people that, who would love King 10? The kind of people you need to cut out of your life. Because they would hear that and go, oh yeah, this is great. I could really relate to, hey, where are you going, man? Just fucking stupid. Okay, so that was my number three of
All right,
the bottom.
Let's get to the real
the top two garbage bullshit.
And some of you have probably predicted at least one of these, but I'm going to go ahead and do it, even though it's like shooting fish
I'm
in
curious.
A barrel. All
right, what is
number
it?
Number two, Amur, Eternal Enemies.
Beanie Babies.
Now, I'm not gonna give them for being on Victory Records. I'm not going to get into how Frankie Palmieri says all the stupid in interviews, or how he thinks he's soul bonded to Street Fighter characters, or about a t-shirt line, or how many former Amur members talk about how what a terrible person he is. I'm not going to bring any of that up. Their placement on this list.
I'm glad you didn't bring any of that up.
Good. I thought you'd appreciate.
That's really
that.
Tasteless.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes. Right, it's quite mature of me to do that.
Yes. Exactly.
I'm glad you sidestepped all that.
The placement of Eternal Enemies on this list is based solely on the quality of the music, and it fucking sucks. Like, have you heard any of Amur's other albums? Congratulations, you don't have to hear Eternal Enemies. If you were one of those people wondering, oh, I wonder if they're simple breakdown heavy deathcore crap is going to continue in that direction, well, yeah, spoiler alert, it does. It's just moronically simplistic, even by the standards the band has already set. Last time I was on the podcast, I did mention Amur, and we were once or twice, and we discussed 9-string guitars. On that note, Amur could start playing 2-string guitars with just the bottom 2 strings and the record with them, and it would not sound any different at all. The whole album is just one long, tedious breakdown after another, with Frankie Palmieri alternating between poorly executed death growls and Fred Durst-style spoiled frat boy rapping. Both of which sounds way over-processed. The entire album sounds way over-processed. And the lyrics sound like 16-year-olds screaming about 60-year-old problems, about not giving a f***. Do you ever notice that the people that constantly, that say, like, oh, I don't give a f***, constantly, like, really care about letting you know that they don't give a f*** what you think, and will, like, go to the lengths of just spray-painting it everywhere, yelling at their car and like screaming and making deathcore albums, all to let all of you know that they don't give a fuck in case you're still listening?
Nah.
Amur have proven once again that they don't give a fuck about anything. Not songwriting, not musicianship, originality, organic brutality, musical progression. The only thing they care about is out album after album of horrible deathcore so they
that
can
money,
keep
dog.
Scamming kids on summer package tours sponsored by Hot Topic. That's what they give a fuck about. Everything else, they don't give a fuck about. So, some of you are probably wondering, what could possibly be worse than a Muir? Brace yourselves.
Oh, God, man.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm ready for this.
This is the, what you know, I, and when, again, I'm sure there's a lot of, like, radio rock and, like, mainstream hip-hop and mainstream dance pop that's way worse, but
yeah.
this is strictly for bands that are sullying metal's good name.
It's the worst of the worst.
The worst of the worst, and if you want to contest me on this, don't. You're wrong. The worst album of the year, Guilty Pleasure.
Oh, no!
By Attila.
We talked about them last week.
I'm even, like, slightly embarrassed.
What's wrong with
to
you?
Even mention Attila's name, but I had to listen to it, so you're going to have to listen to me talk about it. Years ago, I reviewed Attila's first album years ago for my blog, disdainofmind42.blogspot.com, and I gave it half a point out of a possible five.
Okay. So that's like just for putting their name on it?
That's just for like getting
their
ass out
right,
of bed and recording something. Okay, for that effort, you get half a point. But that's all I'm going to give you. Yeah, I gave it half a point. It was so terrible in every conceivable way. Because there's some albums you listen to, we're like, well, this is bad, but that one riff is okay. This could have been rewritten or reworked. But no, this is just bad, bad, bad all the time. And the reason why their latest album, which is also like, hell yeah, this is their fourth f***ing album... To any of you out there who's ever bought an Attila ticket or CD or whatever, yeah, thanks a fucking lot. Because
look what you did.
Look what you did. You encouraged them. You allowed them to put out not one, but four completely putrid piles of shit.
No.
This album right here, I chose as the bottom of my bottom five because... It encompasses everything negative I just said about all these releases, except for In Flames, because unlike Attila, In Flames used to be good.
Fair enough.
The music is irritating, unoriginal, uninspired, oversimplistic, slapped together without any concern for craft or quality.
Homophobic.
Overproduced, homophobic, sucks up to trends like crunk rap and electronic dance music. And the lyrics are even more embarrassing than Amur's. They're some of the most deliberately ignorant dribble you could imagine. Just like everything they've ever put out. It sounds like a bunch of songs that some metalcore kids recorded over a weekend as a joke so they could show it to their friends and be like, yeah, well, that band sucks, but check out this. At least they're not this bad. You know?
That's what we do.
Not something a band that would actually take the time to record, put their name on, and say to the world, this is our album. This is our artistic entertainment statement.
And sell thousands and thousands.
And they sell, yes. They try to be all offensive and shocking. They curse up a storm. They call everyone a bitch. And they use homophobic terms like homo. And by when I use the term homo, I'm actually cleaning it up quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like they sound like a 10-year-old who snuck into an R-rated movie his parents wouldn't let them watch, and they just keep repeating the same words they heard because they think it would cool. I've heard people call them party metal, and which really, party metal, that's not a genre, okay?
No.
It just doesn't work, no. If I went to a party and they put this shit on, I would leave immediately, I would never speak to the host again, and I just might take a dump in their kitchen.
Now, man,
for subjecting
deck.
That. No, actually, no. I take a dump in a Tupperware container, put it in their microwave, set the microwave for like an hour, and then just leave. And then think to myself, yeah, that's what you get, you f***er. I was promised a party.
Nice.
And instead, you played Attila. You subjected me to that. And understand something.
not all of my friends have as good a music taste as you guys. Not all of my friends are really into metal and hardcore punk and all that, but I'm pretty tolerant, you know? But something like Attila would absolutely be the last straw.
Oh, man, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So wait, hold on. You said Guilty Pleasure?
That's the name of their new album.
Oh, I thought you said it was your Guilty Pleasure.
You
I
were
you
wrong.
Were into that album.
I said Guilty Pleasure by Attila. That's what I said.
Okay. Okay.
If you'd like, stenographer, please read the minutes back to me. No.
I need some proof.
It was called Guilty Pleasure.
It was called Guilty Pleasure.
I thought you said Attila. Because, Guilty Pleasure.
Because they're really creative. They called their album Guilty Pleasure. Yeah, they know what people are going to call it. So they just like put on this air of like, oh yeah, we know we suck.
Did the one thing you should never do is apologize for your art.
They try to be all edgy or offensive, but no, they're not offensive, okay? Anal was offensive. I know you're going to edit that out, but everybody knows what band I mean.
Kyle from Incantation has a mustache.
That band was offensive in a funny way. Attila are just obnoxious. They're the musical.
Yeah, they fucking suck.
They're terrible. They're the musical equivalent of that guy you knew in high school with rich divorced parents who transferred to your school senior year, immediately trying to impress everyone with stories about all the trouble they caused back home, all the laws they broke, all the drugs they did, all the sex they had, all in such a way that you know that 90% of it is bull.
And bro, 10% we did so many drugs.
Is exaggerated. I'm surprised that Attila have made it four albums in. I'm surprised they have a career at all. Is it just like kids buying this? The same kids that buy electronic death metal crossover, deathcore?
What's the name of this guy's clothing line? And what was the name of some of the shit they had on their shirts? Like, don't be a fucking bitch.
Yeah, all their shirts are like, don't be a fucking bitch. Fuck you, I'm an Attila.
I don't
Aren't
give
I
a fuck.
Cool,
fuck you, I'm an
I don't
Attila.
Give a fuck. Hey, did I mention I don't give a fuck? Why aren't you listening to me? Because I don't give a fuck. I would have to say, given the choice between like seeing Attila live and attending a chalkboard scratching convention, I'd break out my blackboard and my fucking power drill. The music in your average sitcom commercial is genius compared to the putrid, annoying, bubbling pus bowl that the noise polluters of Attila have the gall to subject humanity to. There's no excuse for it. Why have they done this to us?
What are you going to do about it, Travis?
What am I going to do about it?
I'm not going to take it anymore.
If there was something I could do about Attila having a career, I would have done it by now.
You've done what you could.
I've done all I could. I've called them out.
It's all about
awareness. I'm not the only one. I know that Decibel have always given them bad reviews. I'm pretty sure that metal sucks. Then again, metal sucks likes baby metal. So I don't know what the f*** they think. But anyway, the point is that was just that had to have been. It's just like not only like f*** that band.
Okay,
and that is the last time I'm ever. I promise you, the last time I'm ever. Going to talk about Attila in public.
Thank you. Well, that was awesome. The top five worst garbage quote-unquote metal releases of 2014. Thank you very much for doing that, because, you know, we can't really do that much. I mean, we can talk negative, but we cannot spew the hatred that you just spewed.
Yeah, I know. It's a talent, and it's a responsibility, and I am honored to be the bad guy. I understand. You got, you know, there's music politics and all this fucking that just, whether it means to or not, pisses all over the music that we love. I know we all have different tastes and different opinions about things. And there's certain bands that, like, I hear and I'm like, well, I don't like that. But I could see why other metal fans would, you know, because metal is a very diverse, very enriched genre. And there's a lot of, it's way more variety to it than most people give it credit for. And a lot of it is good in its own right. But then there's bands like the ones I mentioned that piss me off. That the world, it's not like not just, oh, I don't like their music. The world is a worse place because literally they exist.
And you're desecrating the shrine, man.
Yes. You're desecrating the shrine. Every shrine. And in an age where metal is so divisive and so many people like just like their own specific niche genres, and I know just with the metal fans in this room, I know that all of us have very individual tastes.
Yeah.
And all of us, there are bands that all of us like. There are bands that only one of us like. There are bands that two of us like. And the other doesn't understand why we like them. But I would like to think that in this divisive world, these bands are bands.
They can bring us together,
at
brother.
At the very least, Attila, we could all agree.
United in hatred.
Yes.
We're with you.
Yes.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yes.
Kevin. Thank you.
I need a drink.
What's it? All right. Travis, get your drink, man. We'll calm things down a little bit. So everybody, just calm things down. Calm down. Okay, entering the Metal Shop Backstage Pass, Brutal Poetry, Too Hot for Radio Lounge. Tonight, to increase the ignorance, Kevin's going to be reciting Coprophiliac by the band Gorgasm. Take it away.
Rage overwhelms me. Perverted, heinous sights to show. Covered in excrement. From my head to the floor, experience death, your pain now ends. Even though you are dead, pouring shit into your head. Half-torn rectum starts my drool. Bloody shit starts to fall. Gagging on my stool and balls. Probing through the puckered anus. I will stick my finger in. Smearing shit across my grin. Bathing in your excrement. On my body, it will splatter. Chewing on your fecal matter. Rip your ass wide. Extract it out. Coprophiliism driving me until I'm through. Writhing in feces. Now I'm on your stool. Rectal samples dug out wide. Innards brought forth outside, keeping me satisfied. Pummeled from now denied, addicted to logs of feces, and the stench of your dead ass. Lubricated with diarrhea, ravenous, fecal freak.
Wow. Orgasm, these guys really have a way with words. This guy really loves sh**. Well, once again, our weekly confirmation that we're all still going to hell.
It's true.
And you are too.
See you there.
So thanks for listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass, episode 37.
Thank you, Travis.
Thanks, Travis.
Thank you for having me, as always.
And most definitely. We'll see you again in a few weeks. Bye, Kevin.
Peace.
Bye, Ryan.
Later, guys.
Bye, Tim.
I am.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.